Welcome everyone to another episode of What Is. This is your host Rudra Vishweshwar, and today I have a really, really cool episode lined up for you guys on a topic that I probably know nothing about, which is going to make this a lot more interesting. With me today, I have Morgan Swenson, and in the background, Devin Swenson. Devin's a co-worker of mine, and Morgan's his wife, but they're both really, really good friends of myself and my roommate Dhruv right now, I guess. We do like couple dates together. It's weird. It's pretty cute. But Morgan is an awesome, energetic, bright, full of life and sport-loving Cubs fan human being that I know.
There we go.
Right. But before I introduce the podcast, I'd like for you guys to meet her and get to know a little bit about her from her own voice. Hi, Morgan. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, Rudra. So, yeah, Morgan Swenson here. Really excited to be doing this podcast. Been following some of Rudra's other podcasts. I'm really honored to be here. A little bit about me. I'm a former art teacher in Chicago Public Schools. And I'm 33 weeks pregnant, which is really exciting. That's why we're here.
And that's why we're here.
You're good.
She jumped the shark.
You're good. So today's podcast is what is pregnancy and the process of it and what it is like to being pregnant. So we're going to go through Morgan and Devin's story and their journey and kind of see what it was like and kind of get a little more insight into their experience with it. So before we start, Morgan and Devin have done this really cool thing where they haven't told anybody the gender of the baby. We went to their baby shower a few weeks ago and no one knows the gender, including the parents, no one. And I am privileged enough that they are willing to share the gender of the baby on this podcast right now for the very first time. What is the gender?
It is, drum roll please. A boy.
What? Yes! That's awesome! I don't know. I can say I've guessed it because I guessed both of them. But that's awesome. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, super excited.
But we'll get to the reactions when you guys found the gender out later. But my first question is, what made you decide that you wanted to start trying to be pregnant or have kids? Like, I know you guys got married like 2 or 3 years after college, right?
Mm-hmm.
And was it immediately after college that you were like, okay, let's start trying to have kids? Or was it like a process? You were like, okay, now we're getting ready. What was that like?
Yeah. So funny story. When I was a kid, I was, I want to say third or fourth grade for career day. I went as a mom. I brought a baby doll with me and they were like, oh yeah, but what is your career? And I was like, I'm raising my baby. I'm a mom. So go feminist.
Right.
And so I think I've always known, like, I love kids. I love children. Being a teacher, it's like, I wanted to always have a big household full of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we got married back in 2015, and my sister gave birth to my niece in November of 2015, and that was, like, I couldn't handle it. It was mm-hmm. so cute, and I was like, I'm ready. So we had our birth control taken out in December and kind of got started right away mm-hmm. in trying.
Yeah.
So I think we pretty much knew right away, like, we want that this might be a process.
Right.
And we might as well get started right away.
Right. And that's awesome that you knew that. And that's a great career day story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 2015 December is when you guys decided that you guys wanted to start mm-hmm. having kids. We're sitting here now in 2019. So what was that process like? Because it seems like it's been a while. And I know, since knowing you personally, that that's been a process. But what was the process like? Like, what were some of the wins, some of the losses?
Yeah.
Yeah, just because I know you guys had a really unique experience with it.
Yeah. So I guess the too long didn't read version is we tried for 3 years with little success and some losses along the way. The longer version is, yeah, we started right away
mm-hmm.
in December. We weren't really trying so much as, like, just, you know, doing the thing.
If it happened, it happened.
Yeah, exactly. But we think we knew it was going to be a little bit longer. I had had some, I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay.
Which causes my cycles to be really irregular. Okay. And so knowing that, I knew it was going to be a little bit more difficult. They had told me when I was a kid, when they diagnosed me with this, that it was going to be a harder time. Mm-hmm. So we tried naturally, did some like herbal, natural things, and still wasn't happening. So in 2017, in September, I went to my gynecologist, and he prescribed me medication. Mm. So I was on clomiphene citrate, otherwise known as Clomid. Mm-hmm. And that causes the ovaries to stimulate, and causes them to ovulate. And we got pregnant that first cycle, and it was pretty exciting. Yeah. And then a couple days later, bleeding started, and we lost that pregnancy. And then we tried for like 2 months more. We tried again in October and November, and no success. Mm. So I went to my doctor, and I'd been on, you know, Dr. Google, and pretty pro at it,
right.
And said, hey, I heard in PCOS patients this other medication, which is called Femara, okay, or letrozole, it's a breast cancer medication, has been shown to cause ovulation with women who have PCOS. And so he prescribed it, took it in December, found out early January, we were pregnant again. Mm. Super excited.
Yeah.
That pregnancy lasted for quite a while. We went and had an ultrasound at 6 weeks, and they found the baby in the uterus, which was great, but there was no heartbeat. And so they're like, you know, that happens sometimes. Dates are a little off. Things are a little weird. Come back in a couple of weeks and we'll see what happens then. And then at 9 weeks, we started bleeding and we lost that pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So that was a missed miscarriage. My body still thought I was pregnant, but it wasn't, which is annoying. And then in April, we got pregnant again. Found that out right on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
We were in Galena. And then the next day, lost that pregnancy. And then we had a complete surprise, no medication, miracle pregnancy while we were in Boston this summer. Right. For the last week of our vacation, we were pregnant. And then we came back and started bleeding. Yep. Went to my fertility clinic, who I'd already had consultations with. And, you know, they were like, all right, you lost that pregnancy too, but let's get started on working with you to have a pregnancy that's going to stick.
Right.
So then we started the whole fertility clinic route. And that was our summer, basically, July until August, really. October, September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's like, I obviously had none of the background to any of this, but getting pregnant and then losing the baby like four times, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's gotta be rough. Like not like on both of you, on your body, and like excitement levels. Like every time you get excited about a baby that you're gonna have and you've always wanted to have, and you like start having like hopes and dreams and stories and all this stuff, you know. What was the process of coping? Like, how did you guys, like, were you just each other's rocks? Like, what was that like?
Yeah. So I think the first time was the hardest, even though I think that was one of the shorter pregnancies I had, just because, you know, it's my first time on this medication and it worked and I was like, what?
Yeah.
So cool. And then, yeah, that was really tough. I talked to my friends and my family and they really got me through it. And then, you know, the weird thing is that the more it kept happening, the less excited I became because I knew it was just going to happen again. You know, my best friend mentioned, I stopped at her house on the way back from our trip on the East Coast over the summer. And I mentioned to her like, oh, if this pregnancy lasts, the baby will be due this time. And she's like, you keep saying if.
Yeah.
And she's like, why are you like projecting this to fail? And I was like, because it has three times before.
Right.
What's stopping it?
Yeah.
You know? And then it did. And I was like, well, I told you so.
Right.
You know? And then it became like, it was hard to be excited about going through the process of trying to get pregnant anymore. It became a chore.
Right.
And it was just, Yeah.
Yeah, and I think for both of us, it kind of just became a case of, you know, every time you would have, like, a positive pregnancy test, like, mm-hmm. you'd show me, you'd be excited, but I think I was almost trying not to be too excited for you just because I knew kind of how guarded you were about the situation. Yeah. So every time it would come up, I was happy. I was excited. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see kind of where things went, but always in the back of my mind was, well, we know we've had issues in the past. And so I think a lot of people, you kind of see it on TV a lot, or you see it in movies and commercials. Right. Like, oh, we're pregnant, honey. Like, look at the... I never really kind of got that excitement just because I was like, well, we've been here before.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what's going to happen.
Was it the first time hardest for you as well?
I don't even know. I think maybe for me...
I don't think it was.
I think that's the thing, is that this entire pregnancy, and I'm sure as we talk more about it, it'll be clear, but I think this entire pregnancy, it's been so strange. Like, as the guy, it's very kind of a strange situation to, like, it's not part of you. Like, it's not in you.
Right.
And I think, really, I think having gone through this a couple times, like, yeah, the first one was hard, but then I guess knowing that you have PCOS and knowing that, you know, there's going to be some trials and tribulations and you're on medication, that... there wasn't a point that I could feel comfortable that I was like, okay, you know, like at some point we'll feel safe. Like,
right.
I never really felt like, I'm trying to think, I think the first time that, like, it really, like, hit me, like, oh my gosh, we're gonna have a kid, was, I think, when we saw, like, we had the ultrasound, and, you know, he was like a gummy worm, or a gummy bear.
Oh, uh-huh.
We call him, like, his, like, little nubs of arms, nubs of leg, and I was just kind of like, That's a thing now. That's like a human thing coming, like, that was the first time I was, like, really, like, that excited. I'm like, oh, we're pregnant. I don't know if any of them were necessarily harder than the others. I think the entire process was just very draining, and me trying to be strong and supportive of you.
Yeah.
Which is hard in its own right, you know, because, like, your emotions are all over the place. And when you see your spouse is, like, almost, is very reserved about it. I was just like, why can't you be as sad as I am?
Right.
And then, like, realizing that, like, the sadness is partially because, my hormones are crazy right now.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's a sad moment, you know? And we just process differently. So that was, like, a tough year.
Yeah.
This all happened within a year, too.
Yeah, I know. This is, like...
insane.
It sounds like a really roller coaster of a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But was there a point, like, after the four, like, you... What I noticed was you kept trying, you kept going, you tried different medication, you went back to the fertility clinic. Were you ever, like, at a point where you're, like, giving up? Like, I can't keep doing this to my body. Like, maybe we need to consider other options, like maybe adoption or something of that sort. Like, was...
So I think after that last, or the third miscarriage in April, we went and we met with the fertility clinic for the first time. And they were like, okay, here's the options you could do, but we think if you do IVF, you're going to have a baby within a year. Like, we're sure of it.
Yeah.
Huh. And we were like, oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, whoa. Like, so much so fast.
Right, right.
And we're like, well, we're going on vacation. We're just going to live our lives this vacation. We're going to live it up. We're not going to think about any of this.
Right.
And we did. And then, of course, we had that, like, miracle pregnancy.
Right,
you don't think
about
it and it happens naturally type situation. But I never really ready to give up on it.
Right.
And the whole adoption, I have a loving relationship with adoption. My mom and my dad, have me, my younger sister, but they also had a daughter together a year before me that they gave up for adoption.
Mm.
And her and I are super close.
Yeah.
You know, we're really close. We're good friends. And we're sisters, you know? So, like, I know how great adoption is. My best friend also adopted a baby a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I think kind of seeing the route and all of the, you know, heartache that she went through meeting different families and those falling through and finally being matched with a really wonderful, you know, biological mother and father. And then... watching their daughter be born and, like, kind of being there for them in that whole relationship,
yeah,
but then
yeah.
seeing the financial aspect of it.
Yeah.
Then I kind of sat down and were like, listen, I've always wanted to be pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a big thing for me is I wanted to try and carry something of my own.
Yeah.
And then also, like, financially, we just kind of said, all right, fertility treatments are going to be cheaper in the long run for a couple tries than adoption's going to be.
Right.
You know?
Really? I didn't...
Well, I had very good health insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
That paid for quite a bit of my fertility treatments.
Got it.
And that if we didn't have that, you know, the situation would be completely
different. Our health insurance does not, it's not even close.
Yeah.
I had the Cadillac of insurances. Yeah. So that changes a lot of things.
Right.
But, you know, we did sit down because Devin did have to give 2 or 3 different semen analyses.
With at least 2 or 3 different times just with the doctor and then probably with at least one doctor. With the fertility clinic. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they were like, yo, he's got dumb sperm. Mm. You know? There wasn't many. There's not a high count. Mm-hmm. And they kind of moved a little weird.
Some of them did.
Yeah, some of them did.
I think they all looked correct. Like, morphology-wise, yeah,
the head was
great.
A great shape.
The most attractive sperm you've ever seen.
And they swam fast, kind of were going the wrong directions, and there just weren't very many of them.
Yeah.
So, we kind of sat down and like, listen, if my eggs are of crappy quality and your sperm's dumb, like, do we adopt... Or do we adopt an embryo?
Oh, okay.
You know, where someone else's sperm and someone else's egg have met, and I just carry it.
Mm.
So it's almost like adopting, but you're still the host.
Right.
So we kind of had those discussions. We kind of said, you know what, let's just wait, see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's try IVF on our own route.
Yeah.
So then, I guess, over the summer, my doctor said, you know, your A1C is a little higher, it's a little elevated, which wasn't surprising, and we will do a retrieval. So we'll give you a bunch of meds, we'll take all those eggs out, but then we're going to freeze them.
Mm.
And when your A1C gets lower, we'll put them back in and then try for the baby. Well, I was like, that could take a really long time. My health insurance is going to run out at the end of the summer because I lost my job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we're like, let's go and try an IUI. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
Can't hurt.
What's an IUI?
So an IUI is intrauterine insemination, or I guess, what do people call those? Like, artificial insemination?
Okay.
Yeah.
You probably have heard of it as like that.
Yeah.
Or some people say the turkey baster method.
Okay.
You know? It's a lot more scientific than that.
Yeah, it's a little different.
So we went that route.
Right.
And that was, and I mean, obviously, it worked, but yeah, the process of that was not totally different than IVF, but in a little bit.
I think in terms of, and maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in terms of, because me not knowing anything about IVF versus IUI, I think everything that I heard about IVF is, it's so much more invasive, it's so much more, it's so much more on your body to have to go through, you know, all of the eggs, you know, coming up in the ovary, then the extraction, then the fertilization, then putting it all back into you. Whereas IUI was, I go into a room, I kind of give you a sample of stuff. They make sure everything's all clean and good. They get the good guys in there, and then they kind of
shoot them into the uterus.
Pretty much. And I was like, okay, great. I think that works for both parties. It's not like super intensive on either of us.
So how was that a guarantee that the baby would stick? Like,
there isn't.
They even said it was a much lower percentage. IVF was a very good chance that within a year we would have a kid. And with IUI, it was like a much lower
percentage. They basically said IUI only raises my chances by a few percentage points than trying with medication.
Okay.
But cost-wise, there was no way we could have afforded to keep embryos on ice.
Yeah.
Right.
Long-term storage like that. And, you know, I kind of had this dumb sense of like, well, every time I tried a new medication, it worked.
Right.
You know? And I was like, well, maybe the first time this will work too. And I'm like, well, you're being dumb. But and then I was like, maybe it's an egg quality situation too. So when the doctors were like, do you want to do an oral medication like Clomid or letrozole again? And I said, no, I want to stab myself. Give me those injections.
Yeah.
So they put me on Follistim, and for 14 or 16 days, I can't quite remember. I had to inject myself with this medication, and then
I cringed every single time.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. It wasn't too bad. And then I'd go in every other day for an ultrasound, and they would measure the eggs. And once the eggs got big enough, they would give me a shot that would cause them to release.
Got it.
So we did that, and by like day 16-ish, they were like, okay, you have 3 eggs that are 21 millimeters. Like, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
Your uterine lining is beautiful. let's do it. And I was like, okay. So then we had to give myself like a big needle injection, which was really fun.
Yeah.
Devin hates needles, so it was like extra fun to really gross him out, you know. To, it wasn't too bad. But you end
up watching that happen.
Yeah, she'll always offer, like, "Do you want to shoot me this time?" I'm like, "Ah, run away." No.
So, yeah, we injected ourselves, and then the next day we went in, and we got there super early, at like 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And Dev and I both went in, and he had to provide fresh samples both days. Mm-hmm. And so we got there, and they called Devin into a special room. Where you did your thing.
Mm-hmm. Provided my part of the situation. Yeah.
Yeah. All the work you had to do in comparison. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, they had to wash the sperm away from the seminal fluid and weed out all the dumb guys.
Yep.
And then they called us into this room, right? And they like gave me this little vial and they're like, "Is that your name?" And I was like, "God, I hope so." So I literally said that and they're like, "Heh." Like, okay.
Yeah.
They've heard this before.
Right. This joke's not new on these guys.
Exactly. And so they, you know, took a long catheter.
Yeah.
They inserted it through the vagina and they angled it towards the fallopian tube that had the large egg.
Okay.
And they basically just, like a syringe, just shot it in there. Yeah. Yeah. And we had to lay down for 15 minutes and then we were good to go about our day.
Got it. And so you guys get pregnant with IUI, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that, so yeah. That comes out. Are you excited now? Or are you again holding your breath like, what's good? Is it going to stick this time? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it's always that, right? So, we went in and we went. So, I had to go in a couple of times, get my blood levels drawn to see how things were going. But we went on another vacation to.
We went on a lot of vacations. I had budgeted too much money, and I was like, "Well, there's still some money left over. Let's go to Minneapolis. Why not?
Yeah. So let's watch a Twins game." We can only watch a Twins game.
Frivolous. There is money left over.
Yeah. Right. So we go to a Twins game, and the next morning we wake up. We're about to head to Mall of America, and I had packed one pregnancy test. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay, I'm 3 days early.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be anything, but I'm going to try anyway. Right. I'd rather find out myself that it didn't work than someone to say like, "Hey, it didn't work.
Yeah.
So I took the test and it was so light, but it was there. And so I went and I laid back in bed like, "Is this real? Is this real?" And then Devin woke up and I was like, "Okay, great. Devin, come here.
And it's always...
Oh, you didn't wake him up? You let him sleep?
I did.
It's very kind that way. It's always that whole like, "Here, what do you see?" And kind of looking and really straining, determining whether or not you see like, him. Are you making up like a faint, like, pink eye, like, "You know what? I think I actually see it this time."
Yeah. And you know, so, and you're like squinting and you're like, "I think that's pink."
Yeah.
"And I think it's there." Mm. And so we were really excited and I emailed my fertility clinic and I was like, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "But I'm out of the state and I'll be back in like 2 days." And they're like, "No biggie. Come in 3 days on your scheduled date and we'll test your levels and stuff."
Right.
So they did. And my levels were low, which was kind of nerve-wracking because with all my other pregnancies, they had been low.
Right.
And I was like, Not again. Yeah. But they were like, "Okay, cool. You're pregnant. Here is some medication." So they gave me progesterone suppositories, which were just little pills I had to insert every day that helped keep my progesterone levels elevated.
Mm.
And I did that. And then the next time I went in a day, like 2 days later, it had doubled, which is like the threshold. They want to see it double.
Yeah.
Or like multiply by 1.5.
Yeah.
And it just kept doubling.
Okay.
And my progesterone was still really good. And they're like, "Wow, it's not dropping like it normally does." And then we went in when we were 5 weeks pregnant and we got to like have an ultrasound and we got to see the heartbeat.
Yeah, I think that might have been like when it was like
real. It was weird. It was like a little circle, right? And inside there was a little bright dot and you could see it flicker.
That was the first time we'd ever seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And I was like,
bawled my eyes out. Oh my god.
That's happening. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It looks like a fish, but it has a heartbeat.
Right.
And then it came back a week. No, it didn't look like a fish. It was a circle. Just a dot. Yeah.
The heart or like the actual like
the gestational sac and then there was a dot inside of it. And then we went back a week later and then it was like
a fish.
And then we kept going back and every single week for like three or four visits, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And the numbers were, they were like, you're in the thousands. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is great. But still really scared.
Still scared, right?
Yeah. You know, because the first trimester is like the, your percentage of miscarrying drops so much.
Right.
You know? And then when my doctors at 9 weeks said, no more progesterone. I was like, you're joking, right? This is my lifeline.
This has made me have it.
And they're like, you can keep paying for the medication and taking it. And so I did until 12 weeks because I just wasn't comfortable like risking it.
Right.
And I mean, I trust them, but.
Right.
And then I graduated from the fertility clinic and went to a real OB's office. Nice. And that was so cool. And yeah, and now I'm here, you know?
Wow. So when did you guys then feel like, okay, it's sticking? Was it 12 weeks almost? You're like, okay, this is
going to... No.
You would always tell me, like, different days, you're like, guess what? Today, baby has, like, a 64% chance of, like, survival. I'm
no!
Like,
oh,
great, it's going up. Yay.
Yeah, yeah. Or, no, it was baby has, like, only a 4.6% chance of miscarrying at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and then after 20 weeks, it's no longer considered a miscarriage. It's considered a stillbirth. Mm-hmm. So once that 20 weeks passed, and I tell you, 20 weeks on the dot, we went in for an ultrasound. And that moment, I saw him kicking, and I felt it. And I was like, holy crap, this kid is happening.
Yeah.
Like, this kid is happening. We had a brief scare with some bleeding right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But ended up being totally fine and completely normal.
Yeah, but that's scary, though, right?
I mean, it was scary. We were packing and moving, and we attributed it to that.
Yeah.
Just doing too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, here we are 33 weeks later.
So when did you announce it to the world? Like, I know you guys put out this cute post with, like, the Cubs jersey and everything. Yeah.
It was Nick that took the pictures for us.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That was at 10 weeks. At that point, you know, we had told our parents, like, 2 weeks beforehand at 6 weeks, because we'd kept it a secret from them, which was hard.
Yeah.
So we announced it at 10 weeks, and that's a little early, right?
Right.
Because most people wait until, like, 12 or 13 weeks.
Right.
And I said to Devin, I'm like, you know, if I miscarry this baby, you know, it's going to happen. Why don't people talk about it?
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, we never hear about it.
Yeah.
And it was really crazy, because I think I remember I posted a, because that was also in October, which is infant loss and infertility awareness month. And I posted something about, like, how, yeah, I've had these losses.
Right.
You know, and so many people jumped on my Facebook and were like, I lost a baby at this stage, or I lost three babies of my own, you know, and I was like, wow, we don't talk about this.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah, like, it's a taboo thing. Like, we should be ashamed of that. And it does feel shameful that my body is not capable of doing literally what it's supposed to be doing, you know? And seeing people who felt confident enough to tell me that they went through it, you know, like,
that was inspirational. Kind of give you the strength to be like, okay, let's announce this to the world.
Exactly. Let's tell the world, and then I can share the joy with everybody.
Right.
And then I'm not alone with the burden of losing.
Right.
It happens.
It's a freeing feeling of sorts.
It is. It is.
But switching out of the, I guess, technical, like, the hospital hoo-ha, nine months, you've been pregnant, like, or 8 months, you've been pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
What's that process been like? Like, have you, like, I've seen movies, right? Like, you get, like, those cravings with, like, the Belgian chocolate chip ice cream. Or, you know, like, trust me, most of my knowledge comes from movies and TV shows and books.
So. Mine too.
Right. So, did you have, like, these cravings? Like, did you have, like, moments where you're, like, just, like, pissed off at Devin because, you know, like, you didn't do this right? Like,
I feel like I need to jump in here. I think the thing that the listeners need to understand about Morgan is that Morgan, just by default, has interesting cravings and just things like, ooh, I need this.
It's a part of my personality.
Yeah, like, ooh, I really need this. So everything you mentioned, like, I don't think you've had anything, like, ridiculous or, like, crazy flavor combinations.
Right.
It's just been, like, I need to have a donut right now.
Yeah.
We need to go to Do-Right right now because I'm not going to survive this day.
And then we didn't go to Do-Right, and I survived that day, and it was fine.
You go occasionally.
But yeah.
So that's just, like, so when that happened, you were like, this is normal.
This is normal. This is
normal.
Yeah. What is your weird cravings going to happen?
Yeah. No, it was not, like, my mom ate peanut butter and pickled sandwiches when she was pregnant with me. And I mean, granted, those are delicious. I've had them not pregnant. Really a big fan of it. but no, I haven't had any... I haven't had any, like, weird cravings or anything that's been too strong. You know, like, I see some people who are, like, they wake up at 5 a.m. and they're like, I need pizza. And goes out and gets them pizza. Devin's really lucky because I'm awesome and have not done that. I'd call it womb service.
Right, right.
And no, I've been
you haven't called in on that womb service.
No, I have to be honest too, because and people are, who are listening to this are going to hate me if they've been pregnant. But I've had like the best pregnancy, literally up until a couple weeks ago. Like it's been, I've had very little morning sickness. I've had like very little complications with things.
I mean. Touch wood, but I don't think that, like, you deserve that, right? Like, after everything that you went through, like...
And I said that too, like, right? Like, I went through hell getting here, you know? This kid better be chill.
Oh, yeah, this kid...
The rest of the way.
Right, right. That's awesome. So, now, with it being around the corner, like, are you nervous? Are you excited? Like, I know we just spoke about it before we started recording, about, like, the blood pressure going up and everything. What are your thoughts currently? Like, are you nervous? Are you... Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And both of yours, I guess, I wanted this opinion, right?
For me, it's a little bit of both, you know? So I've had gestational diabetes since pretty early on in my pregnancy, and that's been no fun, because that really curbs a lot of the donut cravings you're allowed to have.
Right.
And I'm trying to manage that for you a little bit.
It's been tough. And then, my last two appointments, I've had high blood pressure readings. And I have to go in tomorrow, actually, for another one where I might have to go to the hospital for continuous monitoring for a while.
Okay.
And then, you know, from what I've read on Dr. Google, you know, we might have to have this baby sooner than later.
Right.
You know, and as you saw our room, the baby's room, there's nothing is ready.
It's under construction.
It's a work in progress. Yeah. Let's go.
But not really being worked on. So... we've just been so busy.
Right.
But so I'm a little bit nervous and like terrified of that aspect. Like today I was making my lunch and I would like slam my microwave shut and I'm like, oh God, in a month I can't do that anymore. Or like I can't do that anymore. I'm gonna get this kid, you know? Or like I can't just hop in my car and go wherever I need to go.
You know? Life's like, gonna change. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, like I have never missed sleep more in my life. And I know it's not gonna come
right. I'm like
the baby's here, but I miss sleeping on my stomach so bad. That's the number one thing I miss. And I also miss like feeling in control of my emotions. I was like really hungry the other night and Devin didn't cook dinner fast enough and I started crying. I was so hungry and I didn't know I was hungry until I was already crying. And I was like, why can't you just cook this meal faster for us?
Right.
You know?
Like, get better, Devin. Get
Come better. On. Make the instant pot cook faster.
Right, right.
Oh. For you, Devin, like, how are you feeling about it?
I think this whole the high blood pressure stuff, I know this is very, it's very scary for you. And I think when you told me like a couple days ago that, yeah, if your blood pressure stays high and the doctors are concerned by it, you know, we might have to kind of change what we're doing. And now my initial assumption was, even though they didn't tell you anything, was probably have the baby earlier. So I mean, we're talking like a month, just under a month. And I mean, you know, Rudes, you know, with how busy I've been at work and things, I'm trying to find that balance of I need to focus more at home. I need to come home. I need to make sure that the baby's room is prepared. I want to make sure everything's ready, because I know that as soon as the baby's here, I want, you know, the baby and Morgan to be comfortable and relaxed, and that I can effectively help out and you know, provide however I need to. So yeah, it's definitely becoming, if it wasn't already top of mind, it's now like jumped three rings up and it's like five alarm fire. To get this ready.
So that's a great segue, because my next question was around, like, so for you, Devin, like you have to be in like the support role throughout the whole process, like from the pregnancy to the 9-month process to when the baby is born and everything. And do you sometimes feel like it's like your emotions are being hurt or not, like, because you're like just supporting constantly? Like, you like, are you allowed to like feel things or just be that rock? Like, you like, I never got excited because I was like kind of keep that in check a little bit.
I don't know. I feel like, and I'm not going to toot my own horn, because I think you've tooted it for me before too. I feel like I've been pretty decent as like this pregnancy. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but
No, you're fine.
You have said you're like, you've been really kind of great so far. I'm really trying. Like, I know just how...
You're a naturally selfless person anyway. And I think, mm-hmm. like, watching me, like, struggle through some of the moments, mm-hmm. you know, has caused you to be even more empathetic and selfless.
I mean, heck, this goes back to, like, when we were dating. And, like, you were telling me that you had PCOS. And just knowing, mm-hmm. even, like, as, like... 18, 19 years old, right. knowing like, mm-hmm. oh man, like, yeah, by the way, we've been together for like 10 years now,
yeah.
and
yeah,
have been married for like, what, three, four, almost four now, yeah, right. but even knowing like a decade ago, being like, oh man, like, if we're together, we may never have kids, or it might be really difficult,
yeah.
I've always kind of known that this is a possibility, mm-hmm. so, and I've known how much you've wanted mm-hmm. a child, and be able to carry a baby, and feel a baby squirming around and kicking and flopping all over the place. Maybe you didn't anticipate this much squirming and flopping. this guy is, yeah.
He's stubborn.
He's stubborn.
Does he kick a lot? Like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you mentioned, Morgan, like, I want to make sure everything's good. I want to make sure everything goes as smoothly as possible for you. So, maybe my emotion, I think that's where I get, like, my happiness and my mm-hmm. value from, is knowing that you're happy, knowing that you feel comfortable and that you're in a good spot. So I think I've been okay there, and especially since your pregnancy has been so easy,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel like, okay, you're good. I'm not worried about, oh man, are you doing okay? Are you feeling mm-hmm. sick? Are you feeling ill?
Right, but have you been, like, have you both, like, had time to discuss, like, mm-hmm. we're gonna get him a Cubs season ticket, or like, something like, you know, like, plan out for...
He comes last in that.
You know, honestly, I don't know, because, I mean, thinking about...
We've discussed a lot of, like, parenting and stuff, like,
oh yeah,
about like how we grew up, and
right.
you know, we both have really great families, like extended families and nuclear families, and kind of talking about, like, here's what we loved about our childhood. Mm-hmm. We're just talking about, like, we loved listening to music in the car as kids,
yeah.
you know, and being mm-hmm. exposed to different generations of music, and how we can't wait for his name's Elias, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, name drop. I can't wait for him to Elias to, like, experience these things too, you uh-huh. know? And then, like, you know, like, how we control our anger and how we're going to teach mm-hmm. discipline, oh, yeah. and mm. things like that, you know? We've had those discussions.
But the rest of it is just going to be, like, when it happens. Yeah,
the baby classes that we took, which were super helpful for me, definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like it was actually kind of helpful for you, too.
Absolutely.
Like, some of the stuff was just kind of knowing that for the first 6 months, baby's just like, oh my gosh, where am I? Why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
I need food immediately. Not being too worried and being like, oh man, we're raising a monster, because we're constantly like, no, baby's just freaking out.
Right.
So kind of being of the mindset of the first 6 months are going to be just making sure this thing doesn't cry constantly, and making right. sure it's just soothed and calm and relaxed, and then we'll catch up on sleep whenever the baby's asleep.
yeah.
And just kind of play it by ear for a while. So right. we're looking at, you know, maybe end of the year, things will get a little smoother slightly,
yeah, yeah.
and hopefully go from there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really think I don't think you're ever ready.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely obvious. You're never ready. Mm-hmm. I think I'm excited, though. Like,
yeah.
I was telling you, like, I already know. I think it was the day after we had had the class
yeah.
for the baby, I had the first dream of the baby and, like, the delivery. And I bawled my eyes out during that. I was like, yes, it's a baby. So I already told you. I'm like, yeah, I'm probably just going to lose it. I'm just going to be an emotional wreck as soon as he's here. So,
yeah,
but no, I'm just, I think I'm more excited and, like, okay, like, we'll get started soon. Like,
yeah.
I'm not really fearful of it, but it's going to be a huge
yeah.
change.
Yeah, and so I guess, like, we're coming to the end of this. I have a last couple of questions for you mm-hmm. guys, but that was a great segue into, what is some advice, like, for people that haven't been pregnant or that are trying to be pregnant, like, that you guys didn't know when you guys were trying the process, or you've gone through the process, that you think would be useful for them to know going into the journey, or what, even if they're in the journey, like, it could be technical, it could be non-technical, mm-hmm. just like how they should deal, or I don't know.
I think my recommendation would be, or like my advice would be flexible,
yeah.
you know, have realistic expectations, you know, and to know your stats a little bit. It makes you feel like, yeah, the average woman takes a year to get pregnant,
right.
you know, like if it's more than a year, then you probably need some help. You know, and kind of knowing those guidelines and not freaking out if it's been 2 months and you haven't gotten pregnant yet, you know, and to be flexible, because it happens. There's a lot of women who face infertility and men who have fertility problems but never know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
You know? and to kind of just be kind to yourself. It's really easy to blame yourself when things aren't going well.
Yeah.
You know, I think women especially, we get that way about ourselves. Like, I'm literally, my biological purpose is to rear children, many children, and I can't.
Yeah.
So be kind to yourself. And have a, hopefully have enough relationship with your partner to where you can feel like you're comfortable enough to grieve in your own time, in your own way.
Yeah.
You know, if you're struggling, or if you get pregnant and then you're sad about it, because that happens too, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. What about you?
No, I think you kind of covered it all. I think that was the biggest thing for us, is just knowing that, you know, maybe I wasn't outwardly displaying it or kind of like showing it to you like on my sleeve. But yeah, I mean, each of those were tough. And I think it was really tough because I knew, you know, not only the physical, but like emotional and mental toll you were going through. Mm-hmm. And so it was tough to know that, you know, we're still continuing on this journey and, you know, hitting a lot of roadblocks, and it's tough for both of us. It was hard to get excited about stuff. And just being prepared for that, and just kind of talking about it a little bit. Like, if, you know, I know for some people, like, you know, anger is the reaction to something like that. It's like, well, and you know, either blaming one another of like, well, we didn't do this right, or you didn't do that right. Like, it can spiral out of control. And just knowing that it comes from a place of sadness, it comes from a place of hurt and pain, and knowing that if you handle it well and you're able to communicate, great. And if you don't handle it as well, still try and find a way to communicate to make sure that you're both of the understanding that we hurt, this is kind of how we're showing it, but we still feel the same exact pain.
We still
pain.
Love and care and are honest about everything. That's awesome. Last question before we kind of wrap this up. I know this baby hasn't come yet, and it's going to come in the next month. But have you guys even thought about maybe going through this process again or trying for another? Because you said in the start you wanted always a house of a lot of kids and all that stuff. Like, is that something you've thought about? Is that just like too early to think about? Because you haven't even thought about this one yet.
Yeah, ask me when the baby's here and I haven't slept. but as of right now, you know, like, I've always wanted at least two kids, preferably three. You know, we've talked a lot about having siblings and having Devin comes from a really large extended family, and how holidays and get-togethers are just so much fun
so
with
much
all
fun.
These kids. And you know, I had a lot of cousins growing up and how close we all were, and you know, so I think I definitely want to have more children. The route we take to get there, you know, who knows? I don't think I'm scared anymore, because seeing how far we've gotten and things that I'm capable of and you're capable of and doctors are capable of, I don't think I'm so scared to try and get pregnant anymore.
I think we've learned too. I think we've learned a lot of the things that do work, the things that don't work, and hopefully, I mean, no guarantee that exactly what we've done this time with the progesterone and everything is going to be, you know, foolproof, the magic bullet next time. But man, fingers crossed that really was that was really the ticket, and that really kind of helped push everything over the edge. So we have a game plan for next time, and let's see how we fare this first time. But I definitely I've always wanted to at least have two also. But yeah, let's see where we're at here, and then. Kind of go from there.
That's
awesome. Well, I'm gonna wrap it up here, but thank you so much, guys, for sharing your story. That was really amazing for me personally to hear all of that, even though I know you guys haven't heard so many parts of that story, you know. And that's the whole reason why I started this podcast, was to get to have these conversations. And thank you for doing that. I'm sure our listeners obviously are going to appreciate this as well. And thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Uncle Rudes.
Uncle Rudes. Oh, baby life. Free babysitter for life.
There you go.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, man.
And that was Morgan Swenson and Devin Swenson sharing their vulnerable, heartfelt story about their pregnancy. Thank you so much for listening in, guys. I hope to catch you guys on the flip side for another great episode. I hope you enjoyed this one. Thank you once again for listening. Have a good day and a beautiful, beautiful week.